The following WNRN soundcheck session was recorded in April in Richmond. Brother Wallace is scheduled to play this Sunday at Red Wing Roots Music Festival.
It's Jeff Sweatman for WNRN, and we are backstage as it's a WNRN Presents show in Richmond at Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden, St. Paul and the Broken Bones headlining, and we're checking in with Chris, a.k.a. Brother Wallace,
yes,
opening
sir.
The show with his brand new band. How's it going?
Amazingly well. Thank you for having us.
Soundcheck sounds amazing, so we're going to hear some songs from this brand new album, Electric Love. It's your debut album. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, man. I'm so excited. Such a great honor to be putting this out, and just excited about getting the music out. Worked on it for a couple of years, getting it together. The shout out to ATO, our label, and Red Light, who's our management agency, and got us here. And I'm grateful, man.
Yeah, you've got a big year in store here with the St. Paul and the Broken Bones dates.
Yes, sir.
And I know you're playing Newport as well.
Newport Folk Festival, yes, sir.
You're going to do a gig with Mavis Staples in New York City.
Yeah, Mavis Staples. I can't believe that. That is unbelievable. I'm so excited.
That's fantastic. And you just got featured in Mojo Magazine in the UK.
Yeah. Excited about that as well. Getting ready to go to the UK.
Okay.
And do some shows over there as well.
I know you got some friends over there, a little band called The Heavy, the folks may have heard of.
Yes, sir. You know, I sang background for The Heavy for quite a while. And actually, Dan Taylor is the one who produced this album, co-produced this album. And we recorded it in the UK at Real World Studios, Peter Gabriel's studio.
I was going to ask you about that. What was that like?
Man, that was crazy. That was crazy fun. It was amazing. It was a great place. It was a compound that used to be like a factory. And he refined it to so many different rooms to record in. You stay there. It's like being at a spa.
I kind of picture it like this.
Like this.
Right?
Yeah, like this beautiful botanical garden. It's not as beautiful in as far as it has, you know, but this place is amazing with the lake and everything. Yeah, but it was a great experience.
Wow. So that's, you know, top of the line equipment and everything and people that you're working with. But is it a little hard to dial in and be focused with all of that?
Well, once you're in it, you're in it.
Okay.
You know, but it's a great place when you walk out of and then you walk into that, you know, and like you stay there. You know, they have cottages there. So
okay.
You stay there. And so it's a great place to, you know, unplugged after being plugged in.
Yeah. So does that kind of foster the creativity as well, or were the songs pretty much all ready to go and you were just sort of recording them there?
Yeah, the songs were already written. The songs were already ready to go, kind of structured out already. But it did help in the process of recording, keeping a clear head. But I had written most of the songs, all of the songs actually. We were written. I wrote the majority of Dan wrote some songs, but we recorded them there, but we had pretty much laid it out. It was a great time.
Yeah, sounds like it. So you got started in the church as far as playing music, right?
Yes, sir.
So you were directing a 100-piece choir when you were 14, is that right?
14 years old, 100-piece gospel choir. I grew up playing in the church, and so I was playing in Sunday school.
Okay.
And my mother was a Sunday school teacher, and she was an educator as well. And once I started taking piano lessons from the piano player, she would make me play. And it was like, this is what you're going to do. And I would learn a song, and then I would learn the next song, and then they would sing along. And so I was about 6, 7 years old then. And I grew up singing in the choir, and it was time for a concert, and the regular choir director was sick, and they said, you're going to do it. And from that was 14. And from like that day on, it was me. The other guy came and said, no, he needs to be the one.
Wow.
And so we traveled all over the country, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
I come from a very musical area in West Point, Georgia.
Okay.
West Point, the best point. And so that's their slogan. I love it. I say it all the time. But it's a great place, and there were so many amazing just random singers, not professional, but just great singers who sung from their hearts and sung from their souls. And they were the ones who not only trained me, but who I emulated, you know, growing up, and to be like, I want to sound like that. I want to mm-hmm. sing like that. And so I just grew up in a place where music was always around me.
Drown when the sun goes down the sea. You're getting cold inside and the fire's died. Heart is sunken and the soul is drunken while the night owl howls the moon. Morning ain't gonna come and what's done is done. Running fast but can't change the past, so I gotta ask.
And at some point in your journey, I got to ask about Kirk Franklin and Madison Square Garden. Was that the same
thing? Well, it wasn't the same thing. Yeah, that's different. So we did a couple of shows with Kirk Franklin.
Okay.
As a gospel choir.
That's about as big as it gets, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually did a couple of shows with Twinkie Clark from the Clark Sisters.
Okay.
Which was monumental to me because she is, really a huge influence on me musically and what they had accomplished, as well as Richard Smallwood.
Okay.
Who I used to go and take master classes from him in Atlanta when he would come down from D.C. Madison Square Garden, we actually did the Heavy, was on tour supporting the Dixie Chicks in 2016. And the craziest thing about Madison Square Garden was that we did it the night after Prince died.
Oh, which I think today is the anniversary.
I think so. Wow. So it was
10-year anniversary.
10-year anniversary. Mm. And I remember being in New York and they turned all the lights on Madison Square Garden purple.
Oh, yeah.
And the Empire State Building purple. Mm. And it was amazing. And Natalie from the DC Chicks did Nothing Compares to You. And it was just a monumental moment. It was a bittersweet moment. But yeah, Madison Square Garden.
Wow. Well, and I love the story too. It sounds like, was it your older brother who got you into people like Prince and Funkadelic and that sort of thing?
Now, my older brother is not a singer.
Okay.
Mackenzie Wallace. He is not a singer, but he's a lover of music. And he's older now because he's older. He's my oldest brother. And he is an avid concert goer.
Okay.
Like, he's seen all when it comes to like the funk, rock, soul. He's seen them all, from James Brown to the Funkadelics to the Ohio Players, Earth, Wind and Fire, Frankie Beverly and Mace. Anytime there's anything like that, he's going, you know. And what he would do is he would buy me, at the time, cassette tapes. Mm-hmm. I was young. I was like 7 or 8. And I remember I was telling my guys on the way here that my brother gave me a plastic bag with like Prince, Sign of the Times, Alphabet Street, Purple Rain, and like a couple of more albums. And I bag and said, if you're going to do music, you're going to need to listen to these. And that's what he did.
Well, I know sometimes there's a little tension there between the gospel and the secular. Did you have any of that in your household or your family at all when you tried to kind of...
In my household, music was king. We did not watch a lot of television, but everybody was an avid music lover. And so once somebody started playing music, that was almost that was the day. That was what's going to happen for the rest of the day. Mm. Because if my mom played music, then my dad would want to play music. And if my dad started, then my brother would want to start playing the music that he likes. Then my sister would want to play music. And I'd be like, I want to play something too. And then that's what we did. Like, I grew up listening with my dad, because he's another avid music lover. Johnny Taylor, James Brown, a lot of those. Sam Cooke, B.B. King, Bobby Blue Bland, a lot of the blues and stuff like that. Otis Redding was my dad's stuff. And so music was always around. And my mom was listening to Patti LaBelle and the Supremes. And then she was a little more modern, so she would listen to like Anita Baker, Phyllis Hyman, Will Downing, a lot of soul jazz kind of music.
Okay.
And so there was always music around.
So this was more like a dance party in the house. You weren't all playing instruments, were you?
No, nobody sang. Nobody played an instrument but me.
Okay. That's
but they were in control of the music that I heard. It is, isn't it?
You absorbed all the influences.
Right,
and
right.
It all came out. What instrument did you start on then? Piano?
Piano. Okay. Yeah. And I'm the youngest. So it was, like you said, it was all poured into me. So it was just like... just all of these musical influences.
Wow.
She can't get together, letting trouble me now. But that's about to change it. We done cast our cares away. It's a good vibration going up out in and around. And when you catch that feeling, it's a fine you can't put out. Everybody, let's all get together.
Well, and I know this is going to be a great year for you, and it's been a long journey. And I mean, you know, here you are, your first album, Electric Love. Just one final thing about working with youth and not only teaching them music, right? But you studied psychology in college. So then you're sort of, I love your perspective on how to, like, you know, I've got a 12-year-old son, and we're really kind of entering the phase where all the friends have phones, and we've kept him off pretty much to this point, but yeah. It's like getting to that point of, you got to keep up with the Joneses a little bit, but you seem to have a keen insight when it comes to, like, you still have to experience life. You can't just be on a device all the time, right?
Yeah, you got to experience life. So before I even started teaching, I was always, because when I first started playing the piano, I started playing at church. My first choir was the children's choir. So I would teach the children's choir song. So I've been teaching. I tell people all the time, I've literally been teaching children since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went, you know, and grew up, and then I went to college. I got a degree in psychology, and I ended up teaching, music, which is awesome. One thing that I always say is, no matter what anyone says, no matter what any study or anything says, a parent is the biggest influence on their child. Because, like you said, your son is 12. That means he's had 12 years of experiencing, you know, his parents before ever getting the phone. So those 12 years are going to outweigh anything. If by the time the phone has 12 years, he'll be 24. And be a full adult. So the 12 years that you had, and, you know, they're going to explore, but, you know, those fundamental things and those things. And one thing that I always say to young people, and because up until touring, you know, I was still in the classroom. And one thing I would say is, to thine own self be true. You know, people, what you see on the internet, all of it is recorded, which means that all of it had to be edited. So none of it is true. Even when you put something on the internet,
yeah,
none of it is true per se.
Mm-hmm.
So the only time you can be true is when you're alone by yourself. So to yourself, be true. You can tell me anything, but to yourself, be true, and always be good to yourself. And that's what I always tell my students, even in music, you know. There's going to be people who will tell you, well, this ain't going to work. This ain't going to be anything. To yourself, be true. Play what you want to play. How you want to play it. You know?
Yeah.
And so that's just, I think that's a great philosophy. You know, a lot of people who are grandstanding, and then people are trying to grandstand, and they spend more time working on their image than themselves. Mm-hmm. Because they're not being true to themselves. And then they believe the image, and the image becomes the person. And the image is never the person.
Yeah, very well said. It's Brother Wallace. Thanks, Chris, for the time. And congrats on the new album.
Thank you.
And we've been enjoying playing Who's That? Any story behind that particular song?
Who's That is literally, I was ashamed at first, but I've been telling this story a couple of times. I didn't write this song. I wrote this song a couple of years ago, but it's about a time that me and my sister, I have a sister who's 2 years older than me. She was a senior, I was a sophomore, and we went on a double date. After that, well, I was out and I saw my girlfriend with her boyfriend.
Oh no.
Isn't that crazy?
Later that day? Even?
No, like a week later.
Okay.
Like hanging That's out still at the mall.
Too close, right?
Right. And it was like, what is happening? And who's that is a rhetorical question.
Well, and yeah. I love the spin you put on it, because normally in these type of songs, it's going one direction, but you put like, okay, you're going to leave me. I'm just going to go do my thing
right. And
hold my head high, right?
Right. That's absolutely it. And we, you know, you can't stop. Can't stop no player. This what it is. I love this song because, you know, sometimes every breakup ain't sad.
Right. Sometimes better
you gotta pop out and show them is what the young people, because I still have, because I'm surrounded by, I still have young people's sayings. And sometimes you got to pop out and show them, you know, that you're not hurt. You didn't break me. You know, you didn't tear me down. That's who's that rhetorical question. And I'm still dancing. I'm still having a good time.
Indeed. Yes. good words to live by. And thanks again, Brother Wallace, here on WNRN.
All right. Thank you. Oh, wow, my mind's crying. Boy, that's so.
Thanks for listening to this WNRN soundcheck session with Brother Wallace, recorded before his April Richmond show. The songs you heard were You're the Man, Let's Get Together, and Who's That? Brother Wallace is back in the Commonwealth Sunday at Red Wing Roots.